The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are Terry Cushman at Cushman MLB and Dougie Sunshine at DHSN23, going by Dougie Heatwaves today, but still Dougie Sunshine for multiple reasons. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Been a little while. Boston Red Sox, one of the more exciting teams in baseball right now. Pretty incredible when you kind of think about it. 15-game win streak. Unfortunately, snapped. Didn't have a proper starter for the 16th one. But still, what an awesome piece of baseball history that we were able to match a record that has stood pat for 80 years. You couldn't do it with David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez, but you were able to do it with this lot of Boston Red Sox. So I guess temperature checks for both of you, Terry, and then Dougie. And then, let's get right into it. So Terry, temperature check.
I don't know what the thermometer would read, but I'm just kind of waiting it out. You know, I said in the war room yesterday, I'm not a guy who takes hard pivots. You know, I'm just, this is a long game here, and you know, we'll see where it takes us. You know, teams, I mean, not a lot of teams, you know, ever really win 15 in a row, but typically, you know, when teams go on a heater, it kind of goes the other way for a little bit. We're what, 3 games above .500, 4 games above it. So there's not a lot of margin for error here. And you should, I mean, Toronto has lost 7 out of 8. You should be able to do to Toronto what you just did to 4 or 5 other teams. And then, you know, I don't know how difficult the A's are going to be. They do have Nick Kurtz back. Eventually slumps, you know, go away and teams string together some wins. I don't know if that'll happen. And then you have the Dodgers, and then you have the trade deadline. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Real quick, Dougie, before we get your temp check, yeah. Brent Rooker of the A's is gone. He's done for the year. So the A's are not as lethal as they probably should be, which just kind of keeps the party going. I mean, the Boston Red Sox just dealt with the East. We deal with the East again. You get Toronto for 3, then the Athletics for 4 before what possibly could be the deciding series against the LA Dodgers. But Dougie, go ahead. Temperature check.
Yeah, I mean, off the charts. The heat wave, that's how I'm feeling right now. I mean, the sun is shining because I am all the way in on this team. I mean, it's just been really fun. It's been a really fun 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it's been. And you watch them having fun. You watch them win games that they weren't winning. You know, we weren't coming back at all, and now we're winning all these games, coming back, late innings. And it's gotten the crowd into it. The crowds at Fenway have been full, have been loud. And it's fun to be a Red Sox fan again. And it hasn't been for a couple seasons now. Last year, you know, we made a little bit of noise, but this is the funnest stretch we've had in years. And, you know, that's what it gets to get me back in, you know, having fun watching the team, feeling like they actually can go somewhere. I think this is more the team we are than the first, you know, 60 or whatever it was. I do think that. And, you know, I said, you know, I knew we were bad and I knew our construction was bad, but at the same time, players were underperforming. and they just were. They, you know, I know they're not great players, but they're not the worst players either, and they were playing like it, and now they're not, and you know, they turned the whole season around, and I'm behind it all the way.
You know, Charlie made an interesting point real quick. You couldn't do this with Manny. You couldn't do it with Big Poppy. Johnny Damon was on one of those teams. For one season, it was Manny, Poppy, Mike Lowell, Kevin Euclid. They couldn't do it. You're doing it with Wilson Contreras, Caleb Durbin, and whoever the next man up happens to be on that given night. But that's like, I think it's still fair to question the sustainability of this offense. And I think that underscores how important this trade deadline is. It might be the most important of the last couple decades.
I heard someone on the radio call them the Chad News Bears.
I like it.
Not bad.
I don't hate that. You know,
That's all right.
I'll say this much, man. My temperature, we're humming in like a 2-3. And everybody's favorite Uncle Jeremy was super negative. I was with him. I was matching that energy of just like being PO'd and just WTF is going on. And now it's like WTF happened to Driveline, because now Caleb Durbin, who had one dink home run over a 42-mile-an-hour Ephus pitch, now has 10 home runs, 44 RBIs, hitting over almost 240 right now. This is a guy that couldn't hit even 200, was hitless basically to start the year, has now quietly become one of the better hitters, gets his own hitting coach, everything's starting to work. You have three pitchers that have had little to no experience. I mean, minimum number of starts, less than five career starts last year. All of a sudden now they're the three biggest names here, because Ranger Suarez is injured. He'll come back. He'll be fine. Garrett Crochet is injured. I hope he comes back sooner rather than later. We still haven't seen two of the other names from a couple of years ago, like Tanner Houck, non-existent, not here. Cutter Crawford, not here, not happening. So it's pretty incredible that one of the guys that we've consistently counted on, or two or three of those guys that we've consistently counted on, no one even knew who they were before the start of the year. Maybe some people knew who, you know, Peyton Tolley was, because Butch Tolley's got like a killer ass mustache and he's just super fun. Like, Peyton Tolley's the type of dude that I would totally get wasted with if I drank that much. He's the type of guy that could probably do that. He's the type of guy that'd be sitting in jail with you being like, man, that was fun. He's not your phone call. He's the guy sitting next to you like, oh, that was a lot of fun. He's that guy. This is starting to become a fun team. Jeremy in the war room said, I love baseball again. Dude, I'm with you, man. This is a fun, flipping team. If I were to tell you through 100 games that we were the worst team at home and the best team at away, or one of them anyways, would you believe me? It sounds crazy to think about it. Oh, and in that time, we also won 15 games. We were the team that would lose games because of stupid mistakes. We were forcing other teams to make those mistakes. Now, game 16, you don't have a starter. You know, Jared Durand, who I love, everybody knows it. He's the guy I want to go to war with. Like, if there's one guy that I'm picking first to like get, you know, make sure that something needs to happen, that's my guy right there. You know, kind of had like a misplay. He tried to like do it all in once off the monster. He was just overworking to get everything done. But this team is now starting to click. Would you call it the Chad what Bears?
The Chad News Bears.
Chad News Bears. Yeah. I'm slowly starting to get behind it. There were certain things that we just did not do under Alex Cora that we are starting to do now. Dude, we're bunting in the eighth, ninth inning just to get the runners over from second to third, from third home. We're forcing them to make mistakes. I think it was against the Baltimore Orioles. Wasn't it Shane Baz who had like a wild throw to first base? And that's kind of how we were able to keep one inning going. You get six runs in one inning. How can you not be pumped about this team?
Yeah. Like, we scored three runs in an inning without getting a hit in one of those games.
How do you do that? Like, that's not you being great. That's the other team making mistakes. Yeah, scoring one run without hits is dumb. Doing it three times? What are we doing?
Yeah, pass ball, error.
Crazy.
Right? Walks.
That's how we lost the last. That's how we, you know, we're 15-1 over our last 16 because we had a couple wild pitches, pass balls, and things just weren't working out. You give up a four spot in the first inning. For the first time, I'm like, all right, we just got to get four. It's not we're done. And that's a different mentality to have 3 weeks ago. You go down 3-0, you lost that game. By the way, shout out to Spain for winning the World Cup and not being like cheap and a crappy, you know, cheating team. So well done, Spain, for winning the World Cup. Congratulations. I know Chris Felico is jazzed. I am too. I'm just happy again, man. Everything that could, you know, for the most part go right has been happening. This has been awesome baseball to watch. And we're going to get right into it. So the Boston Red Sox right now, we were talking about Sonny Gray being gone, Aroldis Chapman being gone, possibly Wilson Contreras being gone, Jaron Duran being gone, somehow packaging Masataka Yoshida. Maybe he's out. I hope to God not Cedan Rafaela, possibly another starter. Maybe Garrett Whitlock is gone. At this point, I was saying for a really long time, I don't know how you're going to be able to keep those guys in safe face and try to say like you're a smart organization. At this point, if you get rid of some of those guys, how do you take your team seriously? Like Garrett Whitlock has been elite in the eighth inning. He's been .52 ERA since he's come back from the IL. Chapman is just Chapman. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. He tied Eckersley for saves all time. You're maybe one or two pieces. And I mean, if you get a proper piece, like a proper piece, we're a playoff team again. I have not said that all year. We are a playoff team again. We were saying, damn, the longest time, I wish I didn't guess that number, predict that number for wins, because we're 15 games under 500. We're like, crap, we're going to lose 100. You know, now we're back over 500. There's a real good chance that we do finish in the 80s as opposed to finishing in the 60s or 70s. But for both of you guys, are we buyers? Terry, please take it away.
So the short answer is yes, we are definitely buyers. And, you know, the optics of not bolstering this team following a 15-game win streak would be insane to not try to improve the team. That's the good news. The bad news is we've got a chief baseball officer that has no clue how to handle a deadline. He's never demonstrated he can do it. Every trade deadline so far, I hate to swear, but it's been the drizzling shits. he has not performed at the deadline. And secondly, just because we're buyers, I'm not going to sit here and say we're definitely an October team. I still question the sustainability, like I said in my opening take. So we'll see. I was looking at August schedule last month. It's not brutal, but you know, there are some tough teams in there. So we'll see. Other teams are going to improve. Okay. Craig Breslow is not smarter than Jerry DePoto, who will do everything possible to get that Mariners team, hopefully winning the American League West. You know, I don't think he's as smart as Chris Getz in Chicago. I think we've gotten fleeced at least once by him. You mentioned Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck might throw a pitch in a big league game before Garrett Crochet does. Let that sink in. Okay. So I think probably we lost the Crochet trade. Will it be one of the worst trades in history? No, probably not. But they got all the right players from us, you know, and we're calling up Anthony Siegler, and I think the honeymoon is just about over there. So we'll see. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a hard pivot guy. I don't ride the roller coaster. I just kind of watch the roller coaster. I watch everybody else ride it. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not always right. I'll be the first to admit that.
Oh man, we've been really wrong as of late. I mean, really, really wrong. Dougie, what's your 2 cents on?
I mean, yeah, I think you got to be buyers. You have to be at this point. I mean, where I'm at is we are a playoff team right now, and if we're buying, and you bring in a serious piece, then we're an actual contender. Is where I'm at right now. I think we will make the playoffs. I think I don't have a lot of faith that Garrett will come back, but I do think if he does come back, I will believe in him to pitch. I won't, you know, I won't be expecting Garrett Crochet to be bad if he does come back. And, you know, that's a huge addition to add one of the, you know, last year, the second best pitcher in the American League. You know, I know he didn't look great this year, but he still had some games this year where he looked really good. And, you know, he was up and down. He's been out. I'm not banking on him coming back, but you know, that's a big addition. That's a big addition. I'm not putting any stock into Roman coming back, but you know, to say there's 0% chance that he could help us, I would say that's wrong too. And, you know, if you can go out, you gotta be buyers. You can't, if you see the way this team is acting, the way they're playing, the way the camaraderie that this team has right now, you can't start picking people away and trading it away. I don't think that will help the team at all. I think the team is in a really good spot, and it's really prime, like in the perfect position to bring in a big bat right now, to bring in a really good player. Maybe you have to trade a Jaren Duran, but not your whole team, you know. And I think if you really bring in a guy like that, a Tatis maybe, I would love to see, you know, one of the shortstops you mentioned. And it could change. It could really change things on the field. It could really change things in the locker room. And I think with the pitching that we have, the way it's been going all season, I think it's, you know, it's, I can't count them out in a 3-game series, in a 5-game series, in a 7-game series. We're going to have the better pitching in pretty much every series. And if they're pitching the way they have been all season, I have faith in them.
So on paper, the team that is leading Major League Baseball with the lowest runs allowed is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're 378 runs allowed. Second best are the Milwaukee Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. The Brewers have played one extra game, which is totally fine. I still think the Red Sox could get away with a 1 or 2 runs allowed. But as far as runs scored, we have gone from the basement to 8th from the worst. And that's a result of being smart, diplomatic, other teams making mistakes. I do think you are one bat away from being a really above average team in the American League. We have now succumbed to injuries. We've lost arguably our 2 best pitchers. And we have other guys that have stepped up to the plate and then some. Sonny Gray is pitching a career year in Boston this year. He will far surpass 12 wins. Probably should have surpassed his season high already if we got him proper run support. But the RPU's on another level. As far as Garrett Crochet is concerned, I don't think we lost the Garrett Crochet deal. I still felt that it was a necessary trade to make. If Garrett Crochet was not here last year, we don't have as many great things to be as pumped about. I wasn't thrilled about Bregman. I was about Chapman. About Crochet. Real quick, about his contract, the opt-out risk, a clause in his 6-year, $170 million extension removes his player opt-out after 2030 if he does spend 120 consecutive days on the IL. That date would trigger on August 23rd, and he's definitely not going to be ready in 3 weeks, given the fact that he's been shut down and he's just working on strengthening, meaning he doesn't have an opt-out. And if he's still here through 2031, he's getting paid $15 million that year. $15 million. That's it. So if the goal is to possibly trade him, which I am saying right now I do not want to do, I think if you're going to trade one of your left arms, it's not going to be him. It's going to be a Conley early or a Peyton Tolley, and it pains me to say it, but I think you've got to try to trade someone with higher upside with no money really associated to it and several years of team control to get that big bat that you need to get. It's not going to happen when you're getting rid of $170 million. You're going to be, you know, exchanging money at that point. There is a lot of risk with Garrett Crochet's arm. We may lose him for another year in the next 3-4 years. Who knows? I don't know. But arm injuries don't just go away. You don't just like heal from it and then it's game over. You're set again. So we do have to be mindful of that. But we've seen a couple pieces in the comments. You know, Terry's brought up a shortstop that maybe if we got that, that would get it done. We had one person earlier mentioned Shea Langeliers. This coming from Chris Kelly. So at Chris Kelly hyphen T3 L, it looks like at the end, Langeliers makes us a World Series winner. I don't necessarily think it makes you a World Series winner. I do think it gives you a much better catcher. I mean, there was a tentative deal where the Red Sox were going to make a move with the Colorado Rockies to get Hunter Goodman. Anytime you make a trade with somebody from Colorado, you have to be mindful and you have to remember that when you play in Colorado, your numbers get fluffed a little bit. I don't expect anybody who dominates in Colorado to automatically come to any other ballpark and shove. Like, Trevor Story's had one good year in Boston, that's it. The rest of the years have been dominated predominantly by injuries and not being that great. That's just fact, because numbers don't lie. I'm willing to take a shot on somebody that's not Hunter Goodman for that reason. The air is thin in Colorado. Balls travel farther. That is a fact, you know? We're buyers. There's just no way around it. I know we have, you know, 10 games or so until that date. It's gonna depend on the Dodgers, because I really don't think we have any reason to be worried about the Toronto Blue Jays, who are not that great right now. And our lineup is better than their little setup. And the Oakland A's, I still prefer our team over theirs. They lost one of their biggest bats. They don't have the run prevention unit that the Boston Red Sox do. If we can get our starters 4 or 5 runs, I trust that Bennett can hold it down if we give him 4. Sandoval, I hope he can. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he could. Peyton Tolley, yep, I'm good with that. Conley Early, sure, no problem if he were to come and pitch. Sonny Gray, dude, 2 runs, I'd be confident, you know? So this is a team that's trending in the right direction. We have a bunch of nobodies on this team. We have players that are starting for the Boston Red Sox that wouldn't even be on a major league roster on another team, and we're winning games. So the book is not out on some of these guys yet, and I'm hoping that they're able to hold on to that status for a little longer. But man, oh man, at this point, if you're selling, you're sending not the wrong message, you're sending a weird message at that point, you know? So I digress. Anything else you guys want to add to that?
Something to consider, and I saw this somewhere. It might have been on a podcast. I don't know who to assign credit to, but you know, Peyton Tolley is going to blow his career workload out of the water this year. He's going to be redlined, essentially. The same thing was said about Connolly Early, but weirdly, maybe this injury might benefit him because it's going to keep the innings down. I don't know. We'll see. Jake Bennett, I don't have his numbers up, but, you know, he was pitching actively in Worcester and, you know, it's made, what, 7 or 8 starts with a big club. So, you know, those are things to consider. I'm probably not as worried about Sonny Gray, not as worried about Ranger Suarez. So we'll see, but you know, we're not going to add pitching. We know that, you know, it's going to be all offensive things. Maybe they'll sneak in a reliever somewhere, a lottery ticket type guy that you're just kind of hoping hits. But yeah, I think you need 2 bats. If Roman Anthony is coming back, maybe he could be the second bat, but you got to get a big bat. You have to have the best trade deadline since Kyle Schwarber. And you probably want to have an even better one than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to at least match. It's just the we haven't had a position like that in a while since that team. You know, that team obviously made it to the ALCS. I know last year we made some noise, but I don't think anyone thought we were going to go that far. I think this year you could go that far. And if you know, but the problem is I do believe in this team, but I still don't believe in Breslow. I just don't, you know, it's tough, but I feel like it's finally the time that he will make one, but I'm not really getting my hopes up that he's going to really pull through for us.
His ass is on the line.
It is. It feels like that.
Let me just say this too. It's been a cute story, the streak. But if we either fall just short of the postseason, I think we'll probably finish at least 500. So I don't think we're going to end with a bad record, but you could still miss. If that happens, or if we get into the wild card round and we're one and done again, I don't think Breslow's job's necessarily safe, especially if the deadline was underwhelming.
I agree. There's still a lot of season left for this to go south. You know, I believe in them, and I don't think it will, but it could. And then in that case, I think it's definitely the move to make would be to get rid of him at that point.
I don't remember what everybody had for preseason wins this year. I don't remember. I think Terry and I were probably like 82, 84 or something like that. I wish I remembered. I can't.
I said but, 82.
Okay, I was probably in around there, 81, 83, something like that. That's probably where we're going to end up, to be honest. Like, we've been pretty good about that number. I mean, one year I think I got it right on the button. Jason, I think, probably got it on the button. One of us must have missed it by like one or two. Peyton Tolley, we did talk about this on a prior episode. In 2023, he had thrown – well, actually, we can go even to 2022. He had thrown 96 innings. The following year in 2023, 85 and two-thirds. The following year after that, 81 and a third. In 2025, he had thrown a combined 91 and two-thirds innings. In 2026, so far, we're now at 104. It's the first time he's pitched over 100 innings in a full season, including college. He's 23 years old. You're absolutely right. He is going to blow through his record for innings. And they do have to be mindful. We do have one person who did mention this. Don't censor me, 9853. Six-man rotation, so our young guys are not arm dead by the playoffs. Dude, the Dodgers are doing this. They just shut down Shohei Ohtani because he's got some discomfort in his knee. You have to do whatever you have to do to preserve your team. You have 162 games to play before the important games, the ones that matter, actually kick in. You basically get 162 tries, right? So you don't need to blow out somebody like Shohei Ohtani. If that means a six-man rotation and you get Garrett Crochet and Ranger Suarez back and it's because you got a six-man rotation or you want to give – you have a seven-man rotation, but, you know, one person misses it. Doesn't matter who. Just somebody's like, oh, I'm not ready. Somebody else is next. Like, all good. And if it flips to five, awesome. I don't want to see a four-man rotation here. I just don't want – I don't want to see it there. We are not that team. And I'm cool with it. If we go to six, I'm good. I'm totally cool. Because at that point, you've established your rotation. I'm not worried about Bennett or Peyton Tolley or Sonny Gray or who am I missing? Sandoval, he might get you five plus. But Bennett, Sonny Gray, Peyton Tolley, those guys could get you six. They could. Now, Peyton Tolley, they have to be a little bit mindful of it. But Ranger Suarez and Garrett Crochet, when they come back, they get you seven plus. So you got two stars that give you seven or eight, two stars that get you six. Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock, Justin Slayton, Gore, you know, Greg Weissert, they're all going to be rested. You know, I don't have to worry about blowing Weissert out every other day. I'm good to see him once every 3 days if we can get lucky, right? This is where we're setting our team up for success. We don't need to see those guys every single day or every other day anymore because now your starters are being able to get you quality starts. I brought this up on a prior episode. Of like 11 or 12 starts, eight starters went the distance by going six innings. For years, the Boston Red Sox couldn't even get past four. It was like four, maybe five, except for one guy who was like your workhorse and he went seven plus. Now we actually have the starting rotation. Now we got to get the other pieces. You get the other pieces, you can at least build a contender. I'm with you, Terry. You can get to the playoffs. I don't think we're a World Series team, but man, oh man, if you can get pretty far in the American League, you've done your job because everybody knows the National League is a lot more difficult than the American League. There's no question about it. The American League is by far the easier league of the two. All the superstars are in the National League, no disrespect, but that's just the case. Some teams have two or three of them, and we're watching. I mean, if you watch Home Run Derby, there was really no one outside of like Ben Rice that I'm like, oh yeah, cool. These guys have a shot. All the big guns are in the National League. Those are going to be the guys that get 30, 40, 50 home runs in a season. You got two of them already over there. The big dumper is not going to get you there this year. I don't know what happened to him, man. he completely fell off the planet. But yeah, I mean, this is it, boys. I mean, we're going to be a 500 plus team, and they're if they can get that bat that we so desperately need to offer that additional level of consistency and power, I hope it's a right-handed bat. Yeah, guys, it's going to be amazing. You know, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I think the 6-man rotation is just smart at this point. Like, especially if Garrett comes back, it's not just saving the rookies, it's saving his innings too. And, you know, if you want, you know, you push the rest of this season with a 6-man rotation, it can give some guys a little extra rest. And then you hit the postseason, you get down to maybe even a 4-man rotation sometimes in some series, you know. And, but I think you really can take the rest of this season to push that to a 6-man rotation. And it just helps not just the young guys, it's going to help everybody.
I honestly think you could just skip starts, you know, use an opener, yeah, plug Bayo in. I don't think you necessarily. And I mean, Cutter Crawford seemed like he was progressing some, and who knows what to expect. I mean, he's probably just a warm body, but you could get Tanner Houck back. You could get Crochet back. There's a number of ways to kind of preserve and rest guys. I don't think it's going to be the pitching that does us in as far as making the playoffs. Like, what does Peyton Tolley look like in game 3 of the wild card series? You know, I think it's fair to question that.
You got to rest him now. You got to be mindful of the bullets. You have to be mindful. I mean, look what we did with Chris Sale. That guy was nails until October. We burned him out. And, you know, it sucked to hear what we heard Chris Sale say. Man, oh man, if I still had Chris Sale on the team. I know I sound ridiculous still talking about it, but if he's here, we're a much better team. We just are. Even him at 60%, that's better than a lot of pitchers in Major League Baseball. The guy is a dog. He wants to pitch. He wants to play. He wants to help out his team. And he was gutted that he was injured. It wasn't his fault. It was freak injuries, freak accident, however you want to look at it. Chris Sale's still the only jersey I own as a Red Sox fan. I don't own any other ones. Not yet. I'm sure I'll get another one soon. But Sale's my guy. This team would have been, I wonder what this team would look like. Would we have had Ranger Suarez? No. Would that money have been allocated towards a hitter? I don't know. I don't know if we would have invested in a hitter. I hope so, but I don't know if it would have happened.
I got a Bogarts jersey.
I don't have any active.
I'm sorry.
I have a Pedro and a Ted Williams. Huh? And I don't have anyone active.
Dougie, I'm sure you probably have like 20 from former players that are probably signed, or you have photos with them, you know, knowing you in the yeah. Connect.
We got a Manny autographed jersey and maybe a Pedroia one too somewhere.
I bet. I'm sure they came over for dinner too. Jesus, this
I
guy.
I hate Pedroia.
I know you do.
Not a huge fan. All right, let's shift it before Terry goes down the rabbit hole. We had a nice 15-game heater again for the Boston Red Sox. Chad Tracy, is this man returning as the Boston Red Sox manager? Do we have him coming back in 2027 and beyond?
If Breslow stays, Tracy stays. Yeah. I mean, there's why would Breslow make a change? The optics of that would be terrible. I mean, I gave this take last night. Now, if a different executive comes in, then he has every right to pick who he wants. And, you know, maybe some people will be annoyed that, you know, they'll have felt that Tracy deserved to keep his job. But so many executives would not take the job because they didn't want Alex Cora. They didn't want to have to have him held over, have him have more influence. And, you know, it's hard to beat a guy like that in a popularity contest. So it just depends on whether or not Breslow stays.
Yeah, unless everything falls off a cliff the last half of the season, I think Breslow's back, and I think Chad Tracy will be back and probably sign him to, you know, a longer, you know, 4 or 5 year deal probably.
I think it'd probably be 3 with options.
Yeah.
Typically par for the course.
I think that if you can the manager that got 15 wins in a row, that's again going to send another weird message. Not the wrong one, not a great one, just a weird one. And I think at this point, you've done enough stupid. Let's not do more of that. I do feel like this team has moved away from driveline because you're starting to see changes in this team. It's taken several months. But you have a guy that wasn't hitting any home runs. All of a sudden, now he's hitting home runs. Wilson Contreras is going to have a career year. He's going to be a 3,100 guy. I don't think he'll get up to 300, but Wilson Contreras in your lineup makes you better. I wish he was 5 years younger, but you gotta start retooling and thinking about how are we going to be able to support Wilson Contreras? How are we going to be able to support Caleb Durbin, who's quietly become one of the best third basemen in baseball? And no one thought in a million years, I mean, I didn't think he was going to be what he was. There's just no way. But Chad Tracy, I think, is going to be the manager of the Boston Red Sox. Now, question, if the Boston Red Sox offer Chad Tracy a one-year deal, does he take it? Does it have to be a multi-year deal? That's the question, because interim, he's only here for the rest of the year. There's no guarantee that he's here in 2027. So if they were to ask him, okay, we want you back, but we're only going to do a one-year deal, do you think he takes it? Or do you think he goes elsewhere?
I think he would want to, unless other teams are coming after him. You know, if there's a better offer for him.
A one-year deal tells us you're just there until we find the solution. You're a stopgap, essentially. There's no trust or faith in a manager if you offer him a one-year deal.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have any other offers, then he probably I feel like he would probably still take it.
Don Mattingly, I remember when he was a manager, he was given, I think, like a one-year extension. I don't remember if it was the Dodgers or
the Marlins. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Remember, he had like a one-year deal, and he said, no, like, give me a multi-year deal or I'm not coming back. Like, you have to show faith in me or I'm not
That's Donnie Baseball, right? I don't know if Chad Tracy has that type of pull. He's a minor league guy that's getting a chance, and he might just be happy to keep rolling with that chance, even if it is a one-year deal. But, you know, but maybe, you know, another team comes calling. He's obviously proven himself, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll definitely see. Terry, anything you want to add to Mr. Tracy over here?
I mean, I'm not going to die on the hill for him.
Yeah.
Right, right. Makes sense.
Do I think he's terrible? I don't think so necessarily, but you know, is he going to hold guys accountable when they need to be accountable? Like, that's what I don't know. And you know, you mentioned driveline is probably not a thing anymore, and I think Durbin going to that clinic has probably been the catalyst for his surge. You know, you have Wilson, who was probably never a driveline guy at any point after he got traded here. He just did his thing. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with coaching and stuff, you know, as far as the hitting program and those changes. I think that's got more to do with the 15-game streak than Chad Tracy. But we'll see. I don't know. Eventually, I bought into Torrey Lovello and wanted him to be the manager so bad, but they kept bringing Farrell back for another year.
Right.
I wonder, I don't know what his contract is, but what if he's available? Do you sign Torrey Lovello?
I don't think he's coming back. I think Arizona's going to do whatever they have to do to keep him. I'm actually going to look it up in the meantime. Dougie, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be man, it's tough because you don't want to, you know, Chad's obviously proven himself, but then if there's a guy like that that's like you've been wanting, you feel like he's the better option, you'd probably have to do it.
Right. Yeah, so it says he's only signed through 2026. They have not mentioned if they are going to extend him or not. General manager Mike Hazen confirmed his return in 2026, despite a disappointing 2025 year. Maybe he doesn't come back. If he becomes a free agent, would you take a shot at Torrey Lovello over Chad Tracy?
I would.
I think I would too.
I probably would.
I'd still want to keep Chad Tracy in some capacity, though.
I think I'm not saying that Lovello is necessarily better than Alex Cora, but I think they're in similar boats. Alex Cora loses no sleep at night knowing that he could be the manager of almost any team he wants. And I think Torrey Lovello, it's similar. And I think he's sick of managing a small market team. I think he's dreaming of the day he can land in a big market, have a lot of toys, and really go for it. So I think he would be fine with just turning down an extension without any real offers on the table elsewhere. He'll manage again.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks are relevant right now. They're in second place, I believe, in their division, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look it up because the Padres have kind of skidded a little bit. So it's
second or third wild card.
Yeah, they're 54-49. And the only reason why they're not first place is because the Los Angeles Dodgers, remember them? Yeah, they're in first place in their division. They have the best record in all of baseball. No surprise there. The Diamondbacks have exactly. Then you got Milwaukee Brewers, Chicago in the Central. You got Atlanta and Philly obviously doing great things in the NL East. And then you have the Dodgers. There's no other team. Those are superstar squads. Cubs are 12 games over. Braves, 18+. The Dodgers and Brewers are almost 30 games over 500. The both of those teams are absolutely juggernauts. And, you know, D-backs are +5. They're going to be fine. If the D-backs were in the American League, they'd be the, you know, second, third best team in baseball. It's in the American League. It's just crazy. But that's just the way it is. You know which teams are better and which teams are not. You know, this is if Lovello is available, I think you have no choice. I think you bring him back to Boston. You do what you should have done, and you give him a stupid contract. It's probably going to be 5 or 6 years and be here for a long while. Now, how does that look with the GM? I don't know. I think whoever the GM is, they would want to pick their guy, but I don't think Torrey Lovello is a not liked guy. So he does have that going for him.
I think he holds players accountable. Maybe there's a weakness in there. Maybe there's something he's not particularly great at, but generally speaking, he knows how to manage a team. He's got some big personalities in that clubhouse as well. Right. So let's not forget 2013 through 2016, he was in the Fenway dugout.
So that he was.
He knows about Boston.
Very familiar.
Filled out about 60 lineup cards at the end of 2015.
Very true. Doug, anything else you want to add, good sir?
No, we covered it.
This is crazy. I just realized it right now. The three of us sitting here, video up and sound and whatnot. Dougie, you have a belt on your shoulder. That's different than the norm. What is the belt for? Welterweight something? Is it welter? I'm just guessing. I don't know the weight classes.
World heavyweight.
Oh, heavyweight.
Shout out Bret Hart.
Yeah, he put.
Oh wow.
Dougie put Roman Reigns in the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know what that means. You'll have to educate me on that. I don't.
Best there is. Best there was. Best there ever will be.
Cute. Nice. That is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball. Some exciting series coming up for the Sox leading up to the trade deadline.